Hello, everyone, and welcome to Watermark Church's podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. Now let's join Pastor Jarvis as we dive into the series of Colossians.
For y'all, just stand up this morning and take a stretch, take a breather. Everybody just take a big deep breath. Ready? One, two, three. Just breathe it out. It's amazing how when I do weddings, usually when I do communion or at the very towards the end, I look at the bride and groom and I just said, take a deep breath. You did vows, you know, there's a deep breath moment. Listen, in the midst of COVID, I think we just got to take some deep breaths and allow the Lord to breathe life into us. It's interesting because I believe that we're all going through this storm, but it's like we're all in this. We're all facing this. There's division politically. There's division socially. There's all these division with the master's division. But can I just tell you this? We're all like, it's like we're all in little boats in this storm together. But I just want to say, here's what I believe is happening sometimes. When the pressure is on, it's like also there's pressure on you. Cracks become craters and crevices when they're not dealt with. And God is raising so. Couple challenges for you as we move in these seasons. It's always good just to step back and say, God, what do you need to do in my own heart? What do you need to do in here? And it's also a great season. Can I just tell you, don't be quick to speak. Be quick to pray. Be quick to get on your knees. And when somebody's coming at you with a lot of opinions or views or what's going on, it's a great time to say, hey, how about instead of us talking about it, we just pray about that? And I think it's encouraging for us to stand upon the word that we, you know what I'm saying, that we are the body together. So I'm just going to read this, Colossians 1, 24 through 27. I think this is really funny because I started out saying we're going to preach through the book of Colossians. I'm still in chapter 1. We're going to take some time off here to go into some Thanksgiving series in the next few weeks and Christmas. But I know it's coming up soon. Isn't that crazy? But I just want to, as we roll through this in the next 3 or 4 weeks, now I rejoice in what I am suffering for you. Isn't that funny? How often do you put the two words together, rejoice and suffering, in your vocabulary in the same thing? And I don't do this saying, how's your day? It's suffering, but I'm rejoicing in my suffering. But Paul is saying this, and it says, I will fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regards to Christ's afflictions. And I love what Paul later says in chapter 4, Philippians says, that I may know Christ in the fellowship of his suffering. And so, for the sake of his body, which is the church, I have become its servant by the commission by God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness. Not just half-truth, not even watered-down gospel, but the fullness of the gospel, the mystery that has been kept. Isn't that funny? I said last week, these people were looking for like a secret sauce. And he's like, there's a mystery to it, but there's not a secret. It's coming. And he goes, and you've known, you know what I'm saying, it's coming. So he goes, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations is now disclosed to the Lord's people. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope and glory. Lord, I just pray right now for us as a church, us as a congregation, the body. Help us to know the full gospel and help us to find the mystery of that hope. I thank you for what you're doing today. We thank you for this moment and this time in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Hey, before you sit down, instead of just waving, if you can give someone a nod, that would be great. And then grab a seat. That would be awesome. Or a wink. I tell my kids all the time, smile, because you can see a smile through the mask. You can see people's eyes. So give a smile. Week number one, when we did Colossians, I did a whole sermon called In Christ. And I mentioned how when you read the book of Colossians, first chapter one, just highlight how many times this is in Christ. Christ, in Christ. There are so many times that, but not just there, but in the New Testament, it's amazing because over 100 times in Paul's letters, he's actually saying that in Christ. Over 100 times. And so almost on every page, there's another one of his writing saying, in Christ. Paul's saying this through Colossians, saying to the church. Even in Romans, Paul says, in union with Jesus is our truest identity. That when you find yourself in Christ, you actually really find your truest self. That when you find you who you are in him, it's this in Christ is your identity. We find our truest self. You will never be more your true self than when you are pursuing him and when you are in him. So really, if you think about who I really am is in Jesus. Who I really am as a person is identity is within Jesus, is that identity. So when I say in him, that means so many things. It could mean that's I put my hope in him. I be blessed in him. Find acceptance in him. My grace is found in him. My rest is found in him. My identity is found in him. That we are set free in Jesus. That we abide in him. We trust in him. We hold to him. That in him we move and have our being. That in him that there's fullness of life. And that we need to remain in him. And Romans 8:1 says this. Therefore there is no condemnation for those who are what? In Christ Jesus. So in him that we are redeemed. In him that we find grace. It's in him. In I think it's interesting because in Christ, and I just want you to close your eyes for a second, because I want this to resonate. I want verses to speak to you. If you're taking notes, just, you know, pause. Everybody just close your eyes. I'm just going to read this. In Christ, you were given grace before the world was created. If you're listening at home, even close your eyes. 2 Timothy says, 1:9 says, he gave us grace in Christ before the ages began. It says, in Christ you were born, chosen by God before creation. Ephesians 1:4 says, God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. In Christ, it says that you are loved by God with an inseparable love. And Romans 8:38 says, I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height or depth, nor anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of in Christ Jesus our Lord. In Christ you were redeemed and forgiven of sins. Ephesians 1:7 says, in Christ we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. It says, in Christ you were justified before God and his righteousness of God in Christ in you. And 2 Corinthians says, for our sake made to be in sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become righteous with God. And then the last is, in Christ Jesus you have become a new creation. 2 Corinthians says, if anyone is in Christ, he is or she is a new creation, the old has passed, and behold, the new is here. Listen, everybody look up here. In Christ is where you find the hope. And this whole thing started in week one saying we need to know who we are in the Lord. Our identity rests. Listen, I'm just going to just be honest. As my wife and I meet with people in counseling appointments and marriages and everything, always appointments, but also just we listen to stuff, there is literally identity crisis all the time. So many people are just trying to find who they are. You know what I'm saying? What are they created to be? But I'm telling you, the answer to this is the more you find yourself in Christ, the more you will find yourself. You will find what the reason, because he is the creator. And then it goes on to say this. I'm going to read this again. Colossians 26 through 27. We said this. The mystery that has been kept hidden for the ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. Verse 27, here it is. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery. You want to know what this mystery is? This is awesome. It says, which is Christ in you? Now, this is, when you read chapter 1, what a beautiful picture, because here is Paul talking to the church, and over again, he's literally declaring, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. And then he says, but here is the mystery that you've been trying to figure out. It's not that your identity is in Christ, but also this secret that you think is a secret. That's not a secret. It's the fact that Christ is in you. He says that Christ is in you, the hope and glory. This is no more mystery, which is Christ in you. Now, Paul is saying that this mystery is being revealed, that this mystery, you in Christ, refers to a position that you are in Christ, that this is my position. I am a child. I'm finding hope. This way, Christ in you refers to position in you, that God is living in you, that you need to be in Christ, but he also needs to be in you. Christ in you, that God lives in you. It's interesting because even think about this. Think about looking in the mirror. You ever have this thought as you look in the mirror and think about this going, God lives in here. That God lives in my heart. And I honestly think that so many people don't think about this because they can't fathom this. And then we think, I just don't go there. But when Paul's saying the simplicity of the gospel, he's literally saying, this is what it means to be a child of God, to be a Christian, is to have Jesus living inside of you. But how often do we realize that Jesus is actually living inside of me? That Jesus takes residence in who we are, that Jesus has life in this, that we are temples of the Holy Spirit. It's amazing that Jesus told his disciples, he says, it is better that I even go away because I'm sending a helper, that the Holy Spirit's going to come and fill you up and is going to take up residence in you, that you're going to have power inside of you, that he will send the Spirit to be in you. And I think this is amazing, that all my life growing up, I always thought, wouldn't it be cool to be like someone in the Old Testament? I mean, wouldn't it be cool to be like Moses? Now, being in the desert and running away, doing that stuff for 40 years, and that wouldn't be fun. But imagine being part of that. Like, imagine picking up your staff and the waters parting. I think some of those days would be fun. Now, leading them through the desert and them complaining every day would not be fun. But imagine, we hear the story about God speaking through Moses through a burning bush. And don't you ever think about, like, how awesome would that be if I'm, like, literally trimming the hedges around my house? Like, I'm just cutting my branches, I'm trimming the hedges, I'm doing this stuff, and all of a sudden I notice in the backyard that one of my bushes is literally on fire. And I'm about ready to pour water on it. And then the Lord speaks to me and says, Jarvis, come here. And I'm like, dude, in the back of my yard. And I go in the back of my yard, and I imagine me taking my shoes off, what are my work shoes. Imagine you, I imagine myself, God speaking through, but I imagine God using Elijah, or God calling down fire in these holy moments. And I remember growing up and saying, I would want that. I want a burning bush moment. I want a moment that God does glorious things. And then it's kind of, one of my mentors pointed this out. Would you want that burning bush moment where God's on the outside of you, or would you want that burning bush in your heart where God's on the inside of you? Because here's what's happening. Some days we get jealous of what they had, but if they knew what we had, they'd be like, I wish I had that instead. You literally, says, the Holy Spirit fill us up, that God will take up residency in our life, that he says, you will be filled up and be sent out. The mystery of the gospel of Christ is being revealed to us. And not just Christ and us doing ministry, but it's Christ in us doing the ministry for the hope and glory. 2 Corinthians, Paul wrote this, says, "And do you not realize about yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you?" That Christ lives in you. Christ is in me. Doesn't this make you want to just walk taller, live stronger, be more confident? That he is in you, the same power that rose Jesus Christ from the dead is the same power that resides in you. Colossians 1:28 through 29 says this, "He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end, I seriously contend with all the energy Christ is so powerfully works in me." Listen, that Christ, God doesn't just want me to be in him. But the hope of the glory is that he rests in us. That he resides in our hearts, that he empowers us. So when we say at the very end of service, when you receive Jesus Christ in your heart, we're asking him to come in. A couple things I want to say about it is this. Number one, I'll say is this, the Christ in you is the hope for others. I'm not saying that you are the hope. I'm just saying for you that Stillwater, this city, your family, your neighborhood, your schools, you know what they need? They need Jesus in you. They need the Jesus that's inside of you. It's amazing when you think about it. I've been in some pretty dark places. We've been on some mission trips, and we've been in some pretty dark places. I've been a minister to some families in pretty dark homes. I've been to some visits to people in jails in pretty dark places. And sometimes you get overwhelmed when you go to these dark places because you just feel the darkness around you. Have you ever been in that situation where you just feel darkness around you? Maybe you're going to a situation hopeless. Maybe you got some news about cancer. Maybe you got some news about your family member or about you or whatever it is. And sometimes we walk into some hopeless situations. But can I tell you this? When Christ lives in you, wherever you walk, Jesus is walking. That wherever you go, he goes. And so it doesn't matter how dark the place may seem where you're going, that there's light because the light's inside of you. It's interesting because I feel in our own hearts, listen, and there's dark times that we live in. You know what people need? Is the hope and glory that's inside of you. Of course, everybody needs more Jerry. We all need more Jerry, right? That's true. We can never have enough Jerry. But you know what this world needs? Is the Jesus that's in Jerry. You know, I think about that. I think about Macy over here in school and what you're going on, and sometimes it feels so much mass confusion and probably complainers all around you and stuff going on. Of course, everybody needs more Macy. Nobody can get enough of Macy. But you know what the world needs? You know what that school needs? You know what those teachers need? Is the hope of Jesus that's inside of Macy. Because she might be the only one bringing it that day. You may be the only one bringing it to your situation that day. It's not about us. We are containers of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes I think about this. You guys ever seen those big, giant windmills? Those big, giant, you know, on the fields? You know what I'm saying? It costs $1 million piece, and when they travel down the highway, they take one blade at a time because they're that big. Sometimes I think about that. It's like, sometimes I think we're that. Like, some people are like, what does that mean? Like, they don't produce the wind. They don't even create the energy. They just kind of move it, you know what I'm saying, around. Like, You know what I'm saying? Like the wind comes and blows those turbines and it moves, and then it contains that little energy and sends it out. And I believe that's how God works through us, is that the Holy Spirit moves and we are instruments for his purpose. Listen, we're not salvation, but we know the mystery of salvation, that is Jesus Christ. Amen? And I think, listen, as you go, Dom, as you driving truck and you go in a situation and someone is telling you, maybe you hear hopeless news, you can bring hope to the hopeless because the hope lives inside of you. That's amazing. I think about this in our own life, like Christ lives in us. Number two is this. I think that Christ in you gives you confidence. Aren't you already feeling more strengthened and confident today? Realize, and you already know it, but me realize, sometimes, side note here, sometimes as a pastor, I don't feel like I'm giving you new stuff. I'm just reminding you of stuff you already know. Because we know this. We just don't think about this. As Christians, that we have confidence and strength because of who lives inside of us, that he gives us strength. If you don't believe me, 1 John 4:4, one of my favorite scripture verses says this, greater is he that is what? In me than he that is in the world. Greater is he that is in me. God in me. Greater is he needs to be in me. Think about this. You face anything, when God is with you, it's bigger. You are stronger and you can move through because his power is at work within you. That you can face anything when God is in you. You don't ignore the power of the glory that's inside of you. And when you face a battle, rise up and realize that God is in you. I just want us to say this. I know it's really hard to get us on sync, but there's something about being said this. So if that's on the, can you put that verse on the screen? Do we have it on the screen? You know, here it is. Guys, we're going to do this together because I think we need to get this in our system. If you're at home watching us, let's do this together. Really loud. Ready? Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. That was pretty weak, guys. I'll be honest with you. Ready? Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I'm telling you, some of you just might need to just shut down your social media for a few weeks because I'm telling you, you read it and you're like, problems are great. What's great? You know what I'm saying? This world has been out of control. Who's going to be in charge? What's going on? No one knows the news. What's going on? And I just want to say, greater is he who is in me than he that is in the world. I didn't say you're the best. I'm just saying we serve the best. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying that we're great. I'm saying that he is great. I'm saying that he's in charge. This is the fuel that should power us. I really believed if we live this and believe this, we wouldn't say comments like, I can't, or they won't listen, or what's going to happen. You know what I'm saying? We would live in more confidence. Number three is this. Last thing I want to say is the Christ in you redeems you. The Christ in you redeems you. Galatians 2:20 says this, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in body, I live by faith in. Isn't that fun? See, I was both there. I live in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. What a powerful scripture verse. How awesome is, how sweet is that? Not only is it saying that he lives in me, that I deny myself, that he takes up residency in mine, the darkest place of my heart, I let him look at it. I let him live. I let him come out. But also that I live in him. So upon salvation, we say we are not only moved to a new place and new creation, but we say, Christ, come live inside of me. Take residence in me. The great picture in the book is that when Jesus is standing outside the door and he's knocking. And that picture is of your heart. And he's literally knocking on the door. and he's not going to push himself in. He's literally that, and when you see that painting, there's no door handle on the outside because it needs to be open from the other side. It's an interesting picture how God, how he's knocking and is saying, "Let me in." And we need to invite him into our life. But can I tell you this? When you allow God into your life, not only do you find your identity in who you are as a son and daughter in Christ, but then you can find the gift of the Holy Spirit and the empowerment and have him living inside of you, which is the hope and the glory for other people. And I'll be honest with you. Sometimes I think we're pretty good at sometimes certain things in church. Well, we're going to stand up for this, and we're going to fight for this. That's not going to happen on my watch. And I'll be honest with you. Let's just break it down simply. That's cool that we fight for certain things. But are you fighting as much to know who you are in Christ and have Christ take more residency in your heart? Because this, I think, when Paul made this very clear to the church, the simplicity but the hardness of the gospel is not what you fight for. It's not the things you always stand up for, and those are good things, don't get me wrong. But are you living in the Lord, and are you allowing the Lord to live in you? And I think as a church, when these things are not working, we lose our identity, we begin to have anger issues, we don't know who we are, we lose power, we lose influence, we feel like nothing's happening, no one's listening. And can I just tell you this? How about the next few weeks, we just pull back and we spend time praying, Lord, help me to find who I am in you, and Lord, help me to give up more property in my heart for the things of you. Can I just tell you this as we close? The worship team can come up here. I believe with all my heart, listen, I know God's called me to do ministry and pastor, but he's also called you to do it. I believe with all my heart that every single person in here and everybody's listening to me online or whatever it may is, I'm telling you right now that God wants to use you to bring the hope of Jesus to situations and the people. God wants to use your heart. God wants to use what he is speaking through. God wants to use you to bring that influence, to bring a change, to bring a transformation. But it has to start in here. Colossians 2:6 says this, "So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him." I love this. We talk about this all the time. Almost every Sunday I said, is he your Savior and your Lord? Have you, and that's part of this ownership of saying, take more of my heart, saying, is he your Lord? Christ lives in me. Everybody stand up this morning. This is going to be pretty much out of the wheelhouse of everybody in here. So here's what we're going to do. You don't need to say this out loud, like shout it. But think about this. Christ in me. That's powerful. Christ is in me. Christ in me. Christ lives in me. You know who needs to say that more often? This guy. You know who needs to say that more often? You do. You know who needs to look in the mirror today as you're moving your hair and putting your stuff on and putting on that goop and looking all pretty? Before you do all that, and before you fluff whatever you need to do, you just need to say, Christ lives in here. Somebody just close your eyes for a second. You don't need to shout this out, but I do want you to whisper this to yourself out loud as we begin to pray. Because I want you to tell yourself from your physical words to your heart, because everybody knows the greatest distance is from the mind to the heart, from the head to the heart. I want you to say this out loud as I pray over and over. I want you to say this to yourself. Christ lives in me. Christ lives in me. Christ lives in Jarvis. Christ lives in me. My hope for tomorrow is found in Jesus Christ, because he lives in me. Because Jesus lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives in my heart, I can face whatever may come. If you're here this morning, no one's looking around, and you've never asked Jesus to come and live inside of you, live inside your heart. I'm just going to look around. If that's you, I just want you to raise your hand this morning. It's going to take a few seconds here. See it? It's awesome. Awesome. Everybody repeat this after me. Dear Jesus, come live inside of me. Come into my heart. Forgive my sins. Be my Lord and Savior. Help me to follow you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Listen, as we begin to do worship, just repeat yourself, Christ lives in me. It's not my power. It's not my strength. It's him. Just got to keep on reminding ourselves daily. It's not I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. When you face a tough day coming, a big decision coming, Christ, you live in me. I think confidence is going to come when you begin to realize who you are in Christ and who Christ is in you. Because in that we move and have our being, that we are all together. Lord, I pray for this church. I pray for this body. Lord, salvation only comes for you. Lord, Jesus, I thank you for the cross. I thank you for redemption. Lord, I just pray that you empower this church to move forward this week, not in fear, but in faith, to step out into conversations, to step out into prayer, and to lead by example in ways that we've been scared before. Lord, that the hope of the glory that's in us, you, Jesus, living inside of us, Lord, that's the hope that the Jesus that our neighbors need, that our coworkers need, that even every house that we go into, every conversation we have, allow us to bring you into that moment, into that space, into that conversation. Help us, Lord, to walk it out. Your love and peace in Jesus' name. Let's worship this morning.
Thank you so much for tuning in with us today here at Watermark Church. If you have any questions or want to learn more, you can visit us at www.stillwatermark.com. Thank you.